main chute will is the main chute should have been deployed by now. Let's go back to Stuart Spencer.
Bill Larson has reported a sighting. Let's go now to the carrier New Orleans.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. A beautiful sight here from the prime recovery ship USS New Orleans. We have in sight the Apollo 14 command module, that brilliant orange, those brilliant orange 77-foot main chutes opened for us to see as they were opening. They're in their disk position now, fully open to their 77-foot diameter for each of the chutes. A beautiful sight drifting down to its flashdown point of some 32 feet per second. We saw that spacecraft as it came down on its drogue chutes. Then watch as these main chutes came out into their reef position or partially closed position, then as they open up into that full position, drifting beautifully 5 nautical miles away from the prime recovery ship USS New Orleans. That would be almost exactly on that splashdown point, because we were sailing in a 5 nautical mile radius around that splashdown point. We do have voice contact with the astronauts now. That's the report from NASA on board this prime recovery ship USS New Orleans, drifting slowly down, outlined in orange and white against the beautiful blue background of this South Pacific sky. A magnificent sight. All the sailors here, now in their dress white, moving to the bow, moving to the front of this prime recovery ship. They got a better view. If you only could have heard the shouts that went up here from everyone on board the moment that contrail, the moment those drogue chutes were spotted as this spacecraft began to come down toward its splashdown point. It's a magnificent sight. The feeling is unbelievable to describe, this feeling of excitement, anticipation, and tension on board this prime recovery ship, USS New Orleans, here in the South Pacific. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Reflecting the sunlight periodically as it drifts down to its splashdown point in the South Pacific, the Apollo 14 command module, after its successful 9-day flight to and from the moon, a flight of some 500,000 miles, the brilliant colored parachutes, main chutes in their orange and white, fully extended to their 77-foot diameter, three of them carrying lazily this command ship, carrying the Kitty Hawk down to its splashdown point. We're moving now, probably at about 20 knots toward this splashdown point. We were at a radius of 5 miles away from the splashdown point here on USS New Orleans, the prime recovery ship. That, of course, means, too, that the rescue and recovery helicopters, five of them, are converging on the splashdown point. They've been at various altitudes, ranging from about 5,000 feet up to about 8,000 feet, waiting for the beacon contact after main chute opening from this Apollo 14 command module. They got that contact. They've got voice communication. They're moving now from their altitude into a 500-foot altitude to converge on this splashdown point. And at that point, of course, the swim team members will be getting ready to drop into the water. Right now, we can see a fuel, really, is what it is, coming out of the command module. It's nothing to worry about. It's the Apollo 14 astronaut dumping that excess fuel from the Apollo 14 command ship. They're dumping it out. Some of the engine points, ports, nothing to worry about. A beautiful sight, Apollo 14 drifting to its splashdown point here in the South Pacific. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Partially obscured by the clouds, now out again, the Apollo 14 command module, as it's just a few hundred feet above its splashdown point here in the South Pacific. The prime recovery ship, USS New Orleans, steaming toward that splashdown point. The five rescue and recovery helicopters moving in from their deployed positions into the area of the splashdown, where they'll maintain about 500 feet above the Apollo 14 command module. The crew on board the Apollo 14 command module reports everyone in flying condition. Shepard, Roussa, and Mitchell now awaiting for that splashdown of the Apollo 14 command module, which should come in just a few moments now, as the Kitty Hawk drifts at 32 feet per second, slowly, lazily, down to this South Pacific Sea. One of the rescue helicopters we can see from this distance circling the area. Very shortly, there should be a drop of a couple of smoke bombs. This will give us a little better pinpoint on the exact location of the command module. And we'll also give the ship a better sighting on which to position itself, some 1,500 yards away from that command module. That is the point at which the ship will stay, the prime recovery ship USS New Orleans, while the swimmers drop in to the South Pacific Sea to attach a flotation collar to put up the swim raft, and then allow the Apollo 14 astronauts to be pulled in to their recovery helicopter and then brought back to the landing deck and finally the hangar deck and the mobile quarantine facility here on board the USS New Orleans. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Splashdown for the Apollo 14 astronauts here in the recovery zone, and those three 77-foot parachutes, the main chutes, now drifting lazily down into the ocean. They're now into the ocean. That rescue helicopter is circling the area out now, and we on the prime recovery ship USS New Orleans are steaming toward that splashdown point. We can see the very, very faintly see the command module bobbing up and down in these seas of 3 feet, 3 to 6 feet, 2 to 3 feet rather, the swells and the waves. If I sound a little excited, it's because I am excited. This is the moment we've all waited weeks for. This is the moment that the recovery forces have practiced and rehearsed for. This is their moment of truth. And this is their opportunity to bring the Apollo 14 astronauts on the last leg of their journey from the Apollo 14 trip to the moon. Bring them safely back here to the landing deck on USS New Orleans and then down to the hangar deck below. Two more helicopters on the scene for the recovery of the Apollo 14 astronauts. It should not be too long before we see one of those swimmers drop into the water. He will attach a sea anchor to the Apollo 14 command module. That will steady the command module, stabilize it somewhat, and keep it from drifting. We have about 13 knot winds, and the command module has a tendency to drift at about 10% of the surface wind of here in the prime recovery zone, and that sea anchor, a parachute type affair and a tether, will slow it down. Recovery going well here for Apollo 14. Five, four, three, two, one. 11:05 ship time was the time for that flight down, 5 minutes after the hour for Apollo 14. The rescue and recovery area, helicopters circling that area now above this bright, beautiful blue South Pacific Sea, a sea I'm sure that the Apollo 14 astronauts were happy to see after their stay on the moon. Those helicopters moving into position now, and the Apollo 14 astronauts, once they're aboard this USS New Orleans, will go into a mobile quarantine facility. That mobile quarantine facility is a trailer, 35 feet long, 8 feet wide. It's fully equipped for medical tests and physical examinations for the astronauts. They'll remain in it for 42 hours on board USS New Orleans. Then they'll transfer to a helicopter, be flown to Samoa, then board a C-141 U.S. Air Force plane and into another MQF, mobile quarantine facility, for the flight to Houston and the lunar receiving laboratory, the crew reception area, and there they will spend until the 27th of February in quarantine. That Apollo 14 spacecraft bobbing comfortably in the water, it's in what we call a stable one position. That means an upright position. It did not tip over. At about 40% of the previous splashdown, the spacecraft had gone into a stable two position, an upside down position, which meant the astronauts inside the command module had to inflate three bags on the outside to upright the spacecraft. No need for that. Apollo 14 in a stable one position, a good position here in the splashdown recovery area for Apollo 14. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Those main chutes still attached to the Apollo 14 command module. We expect to see them detach very, very shortly because they have a tendency to pick up the wind and move that command module along the surface of the South Pacific here. Those main chute lines will have to be detached by the Apollo 14 astronauts, and they have not as yet been detached. Sometimes, as a precautionary measure, the astronauts in the command module will inflate three flotation balloons just in the event that the command module should overturn. But with the seas that we have this morning, it's not very likely we will have any problem with an overturning of that command module. In the water already are two smoke bombs. This is to give a little better positioning for the prime recovery ship USS New Orleans. And we're moving in right now. We were at a 5-mile radius prior to splashdown. We're moving in possibly at some 20 knots in on the splashdown area now. We can see those two helicopters hovering over the area. Every so often, a glint of sunlight reflected off that Apollo 14 command module. The astronauts, although they don't really have their environmental control system going right now, do have an opportunity for fresh air. There are some bent valves above the hatch, above the commander, and Commander Alan Shepard on the Apollo 14 command module. He could open those vent valves. A fan would automatically go on and bring fresh air in and out of the Apollo 14 command module, now safely at a splashdown point here in the South Pacific. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Two swimmers are going into the water now to the Apollo 14 command module. That varies a little bit from practice when usually only one swimmer goes in. Two swimmers are supposed to go in now to see if they can undo those main parachutes that are still attached to the command module. We see one swimmer in now, and he's moving in toward the command module for Apollo 14. Almost he's at it right now. And we'll watch and see exactly what procedure he will take to disconnect the shroud line for those three parachutes that are still attached to the Kitty Hawk as it floats gently up and down in the seas here in the South Pacific in the recovery zone. These are just some of the contingencies that have to be watched for, that NASA plans for, so that the Apollo 14 astronauts, so that any Apollo astronaut can be brought safely back on board their recovery vessel. Right now, there's no major problem except for those shroud lines. And the sea anchor now has been attached by that first swimmer. That sea anchor to help stabilize the command module. Also slow down its surface speed. It's pushed along the surface of the water at about 10% of the speed of the surface wind. So that sea anchor has been attached. That sea anchor is on a 50-foot tether. And the end of it is shaped something like a parachute. A small parachute, and once it's in the water, it creates a drag on the command module, stabilizes, and slows it from drifting. At this point, everything is well except for those shroud lines on the main parachute still attached to the Apollo 14 command module here in the South Pacific recovery zone. Fully deployed now on a 70-foot tether, a sea anchor to stabilize and maintain the position of the Apollo 14 command module. Two rescue and recovery helicopters in the area. Now three, now four rescue and recovery helicopters in the area of the Apollo 14 command module. On the New Orleans, we're rapidly approaching our position of some 1,500 yards radius from the command module. We'll maintain that position and stay here until the Apollo 14 astronauts are brought on board the New Orleans. At that point, of course, we'll steam a little closer and procedures will continue for recovery of the command module itself, bringing it aboard the USS New Orleans. Once on board the New Orleans, the Apollo 14 astronauts will go immediately into their mobile quarantine facility, and they'll stay in there for 42 hours before their flight to Samoa. Another one of those rescue helicopters now hovering at about 40 feet above the command module as it floats gently here in the South Pacific. We're waiting to see if another swimmer is dropped into the water. Our next procedure should be the dropping of a swimmer along, two more swimmers, along with a flotation collar that will be placed around the base of the Apollo 14 command module. That collar, that flotation collar, will give added stability to the command module. It will also prevent the command module from sinking in the event that it were to develop some type of a leak. But right now, no problems with that possibility. It's floating well, the Apollo 14 command module, in a stable one, good position here in the South Pacific. Those shroud lines from the Apollo 14 main chute still appear to be attached to the Apollo 14 command module. Already attached now by the first swimmer in the water has been that sea anchor on a 70-foot tether, a small parachute-type device that stabilizes the spacecraft and prevents it from drifting too far in either direction, presenting a problem then for the recovery helicopters. We do have one swimmer in the water. Next procedure we hope to see very shortly is the dropping of that flotation collar. The flotation collar that will further stabilize the command ship and keep it from sinking in the event that it were to develop a leak. We have three helicopters now on scene, three of the rescue helicopters now on scene above the Apollo 14 command ship. The USS New Orleans, our primary recovery ship, moving into the area. We are about now 1,500 yards away from the command module, and this is the position we will maintain. On the deck here, on the bow, many, many of the sailors in their dress whites watching this recovery of Apollo 14, many of them taking pictures. Helicopter moving back into position now.
And this is where the two additional swimmers with their flotation collar should be dropped out of the door of this. There they go into the water with a big splash carrying this flotation collar. That flotation collar is 250 pounds. It is in a container. They'll have to remove that flotation collar, attach it around the command module. We're watching with excitement. This is Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans. Three rescue swimmers in the water around the command ship Apollo 14 and getting ready now to attach a flotation collar around the base of the Apollo 14 command ship. This flotation collar weighs some 250 pounds. The swimmers will take it out of a bag. Right now, at this moment, they're placing a long cord around about the midsection of the Apollo 14 command ship. It's called a bungee cord. This is the first attachment. Once that is attached, the swimmers will stretch out this flotation collar around the base of the command module. It will be inflated. There will also be attachments around the bottom of the command module to make this flotation collar even more stable. That flotation collar will also give the swimmers a platform to which to attach swim wraps, which will very shortly be dropped into the water with them. This flotation collar, as we said, is about 250 pounds in weight. It's a sort of a double-bladdered affair. It's part of NASA's redundant system. If the outer bladder were to be punctured for any reason at all, the swimmers would immediately inflate an inner bladder that would retain the inflation pressure on this flotation collar and assure that the command module will stay in a stable position and will stay afloat. Right now, two of the swimmers are attaching that bungee cord, the initial movement, on the attachment of the flotation collar. Everything is going well. The sea anchor in position, the flotation collar being attached. Here for the recovery of Apollo 14, Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans. Gently rocking back and forth in these slight seas here in the South Pacific, the command module for Apollo 14 containing astronauts Shepard, Ruta, and Mitchell. Around the outside of this command module, the three rescue and recovery swimmers, members of the underwater demolition team 11 of the United States Navy. They're now stretching out this flotation collar. They have it about a fourth of the way around the base of this command module. It is not inflated at this point. It will be inflated once it's fully stretched around the command module and attached and secured. There is a cord around the midship, mid portion of the command module. That's called a bungee cord, and that's what holds the flotation collar up into position. Once the flotation collar is around, another chain will be established around the bottom of the command module, around that heat shield, to give it further securing, and then the flotation collar will be inflated. The Apollo 14 astronauts have just asked if they should inflate those three stabilization bags that are on top of the command module. They were informed, no, they needn't do that now. The command module has been riding in a very stable position, a stable one position. Stable two position would have been if the command module had come in and gone upside down in the recovery area here in the South Pacific. That flotation collar now almost fully established around the command module. Shortly we'll see it inflated, giving added stability to Apollo 14. It's a beautiful sight here from the USS New Orleans, Bill Larson.
You're listening to the Voice of America's live coverage of the recovery of the Apollo 14 spacecraft now resting in the Pacific Ocean.
Word from the Apollo 14 astronauts in this command module for Apollo 14 floating in the South Pacific. Word that they will not inflate those three flotation bags that are secured on top of the command module. They don't need it because the flotation collar now is almost fully deployed by the three rescue swimmers around the base of the command module. It's a very gentle sea out here. There's not much rocking and rolling or pitching and yawing, whichever you prefer, to the Apollo 14 command module. Word now that the swimmers have fully attached that flotation collar, and they will now be inflating that collar in just about one or two moments. That collar will give added stability to the Apollo 14 command module. Of course, many events yet to occur here before these astronauts are on board the USS New Orleans. We'll have to see an egress raft drop. That's a seven-man raft. It'll be cinched up to the flotation collar around the base of the command module. Then a second raft will be dropped. And that will be inflated. Another swimmer will be dropped. He is the decontamination swimmer. He'll be spraying the areas where the astronauts have been outside the command module once they're aboard the recovery helicopter. The flotation collar now has been fully inflated around the Apollo 14 command module to prevent any possibility of anything happening to this spacecraft in the event of a leak. Everything is going well. Everything is going beautifully for this rescue and recovery of the Apollo 14 astronaut Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans. The Apollo 14 astronauts couldn't have picked a better day in the South Pacific for their welcome home. We have scattered cloud conditions here, the sun out much of the time, slight seas, and the Apollo 14 command module is riding well in these slight seas. On the flotation collar now, which is also acting as sort of a dock around the command module, these three swimmers now walking around it, making sure the bungee cord, the cord that holds that flotation collar on, is in a good, tight position. Now, one more of the swimmers back in the water, one remaining on the flotation collar, and it appears he's giving a signal now to the rescue helicopter to come into its 40-foot altitude, that signal that he should drop the egress raft. And that helicopter now moving into the position of the command module, dropping slowly down to his 40-foot altitude. They maintain about a 500-foot altitude out of the way of the command module when they're not actually performing an operation. This prevents any problems being developed from rotor wash. Now in goes that egress raft into the water. Now goes another swimmer into the water, taking hold of that egress raft. He's pulling it around now to the hatch area of the command module. That egress raft is basically a seven-man life raft, a typical Navy seven-man life raft, but it has been modified and specially contoured to fit tightly against this flotation collar that's now holding up the Apollo 14 command module and its astronauts. A beautiful sight here from onboard the USS New Orleans. This is Bill Larson. Fully inflated, the first raft, the egress raft, now being attached to the flotation collar, which is fully inflated, around the Apollo 14 command module. That command module is riding well. We're located some 900 miles south of Samoa in the recovery zone here in the South Pacific. Now that that egress raft is open, of course, the Apollo 14 command module had a name. It's called Kitty Hawk. The lunar module had a name. It was called Antares. And the swim team has named its two rafts. And this egress raft, one of the first things the astronauts will see as they get aboard, is the name of this egress raft. It has been named by the swimmers. Now, listen to this. It's been called the Lily Pad, and that's painted on the side of the egress raft. When that second raft is dropped in, the astronauts will also notice that it has been nicknamed by the swim team. It is the Toadstool. So now we have Kitty Hawk being serviced by Lily Pad and will be further serviced by Toadstool. Another signal from one of the swimmers, now that this egress raft has been attached to the flotation collar, that signal means it's time to drop the second raft. And shortly after that second raft is dropped, in the water will go the decontamination swimmer. He is Lieutenant Robert Rohrbach of Oradell, New Jersey. The helicopter moving in now to drop that second raft. All is going well from the primary recovery ship, Bill Larson, on the USS New Orleans. That second swim raft now in the water. The egress raft fully inflated and attached to the flotation collar that's around the Apollo 14 command module. One of those swimmers now at that swim raft. He's opening it up, taking it out of its bag, and will inflate it in just a moment. Now, that swim raft number two, incidentally, will be used to receive the decontamination swimmer. Once that decontamination swimmer is in the swim raft, he will be lowered from the helicopter a package of decontamination gear for the Apollo 14 astronauts, respirators, and a decontaminated flight suit. Now, that second swim raft has been fully inflated. It is also on the end of a 70-foot tether. And that tether will be used to pull the swim raft up to the command module, where it will be attached in position right next to the egress raft. And now that that swim raft has been inflated, that swim raft number two, we expect to see another rescue helicopter moving in to drop that decontamination swimmer. It looks at this point as though that the recovery helicopter is slowly moving into position now, dropping down to its approximately 40-foot altitude. This command module is floating beautifully. Perfect sea for recovery. And right now, moving out from the ship, one of these motorized whale boats. These whale boats are a standby recovery rescue procedure and also used for a shark watch. But right now, this recovery is going off in textbook fashion. It's going off beautifully. This is Bill Larson on the prime recovery ship USS New Orleans. Smoke bombs in the water, they have been ever since the Apollo 14 astronauts splashed down. These smoke bombs giving wind conditions and a better opportunity for positioning of the New Orleans and the rescue helicopters. Right now we have two rafts in the water, one of those rafts cinched up against the flotation collar on the command module for Apollo 14. That second raft awaiting the arrival, the splashdown, if you will, of the decontamination swimmer. And in just moments we should see a signal from one of the swimmers that it's all right for the helicopter to move in and drop the decontamination swimmer. That decontamination swimmer will be the only one to come in proximity or in close contact with the astronaut out there in the command module. Once he moves up and attaches his raft and gets into the egress raft, the other swimmers will move well out of the way, and Lieutenant Rohrbach, the decon swimmer, will signal the astronauts that he's ready for them to open their hatch. He will pass into them their decontamination gear, the respirator, and their flight suit. Now, in moves in this recovery helicopter, and in goes the decontamination swimmer. Two other swimmers are holding his raft in position. He's swimming over now and just about ready to board this second swim raft. This raft on its 70-foot tether, extending out 70 foot from the command module. He's now in the raft, and we expect to see him signal for the lowering of his decontamination gear at any moment. Everything is riding well. The astronauts say they're in good condition on Apollo 14 here in the splashdown area. This is Bill Larson on prime recovery ship USS New Orleans.
The Apollo 14 spacecraft splashed down some 22 minutes ago at 21 hours 4 GMT.
Two swimmers in that second swim raft on its 70-foot tether, one swimmer hanging on the outside. One of those swimmers is the decontamination swimmer. His responsibility to decontaminate any area outside the Apollo 14 spacecraft where the Apollo 14 astronauts have been. He will do that after he has passed the astronauts their respirators and their decontaminated flight suits, and after they have come back out again and be raised into the recovery helicopter. Incidentally, this will not be the end for this swim team once the astronauts are aboard the recovery helicopter. Lieutenant Rohrbach will have to decontaminate the hatch area. He will have to decontaminate the egress raft and all the other equipment. Then after 30 minutes, he'll sink that equipment, or deep six is it, I guess, as it's called in the Navy quite frequently. Then the swimmers will be involved in the actual recovery operation of the command module itself. Right now, that recovery helicopter is moving into position. It's dropping a rescue net containing the decontamination gear for the Apollo 14 astronauts. This is sometimes referred to as a Billy Pugh net. It's an aluminum frame. It's covered with a nylon rope, and it's the same type of net that will be used to raise the Apollo 14 astronauts from the egress raft into the recovery helicopter. Right now, that rescue net with the decontamination gear is in that second swim raft on the 70-foot tether. Everything proceeds smoothly for the recovery of the Apollo 14 astronauts. Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans.
This is the Voice of America's live coverage of the recovery of the Apollo 14 astronauts and the spacecraft Kitty Hawk.
Here in the recovery zone for Apollo 14, south of Samoa by some 900 miles, everything proceeding smoothly. The flotation collar around the command module fully inflated. The egress raft cinched up tight to that flotation collar, it too fully inflated. And on a 70-foot tether, a second raft, the swim raft, carrying the decontamination swimmer. And right now, in that second swim raft, the decontamination swimmer has just removed the gear that he will hand to the Apollo 14 astronauts once that second swim raft is pulled up to the flotation collar and attached near the hatch on the Kitty Hawk. Now the recovery helicopter pulling up that rescue net and moving back out of position so that the rotor wash does not cause any problems with the recovery does not upset any of the rafts or create a little bit too much turbulence for the rafts or the Apollo 14 command module. Two swimmers now in the vicinity of the swim raft on that tether along with the decontamination swimmer. They will help move that swim raft up adjacent to the egress raft and also connected to the flotation collar that's stabilizing this Apollo 14 command module. That should occur very shortly. Right now, the decontamination equipment for the astronauts being taken out of its double sealed plastic bags where it's kept so that it doesn't get wet when being lowered to that second swim raft. The Apollo 14 rescue and recovery going off like clockwork. This is Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans. Here in the primary recovery zone, awaiting the movement of that second swim raft that's on a 70-foot tether attached to the command module, waiting for the swimmers to begin to pull that raft toward the flotation collar that's supporting and stabilizing the Apollo 14 command module. We have had voice contact previously with the astronauts. They say they are in good condition, and of course they are getting fresh air in that command module because there are two vent valves above the hatch on the command module, vent valves that Commander Alan Shepard can actuate. Once they're actuated, it also turns on a fan that brings in the fresh air and expels the old air from the Apollo 14 command module. And that, of course, provides the astronauts with their first breath of Earth air in almost 9 days. These rafts and the command module riding very, very gently on these seas here in the South Pacific Recovery Zone. We're some 900 miles south of Samoa. Rescue helicopters on the scene. These are members of helicopter squadron number 6. That squadron was involved also in the rescue and recovery of Wally Schirra back in 1962 on the old Mercury program and the recovery of Gordon Cooper in May of 1963. That, too, in the Mercury program. They're doing their job now on the recovery of Apollo 14. That swim raft now almost up to the flotation collar. This recovery proceeding in a textbook fashion. Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans.
Apollo 14 recovery operations are being directed from the Recovery Operation Control Room in Mission Control Center and supported by the Atlantic Recovery Control Center in Norfolk and in Hawaii.
The astronauts now cinching, or rather the swimmers now cinching up that second raft around the flotation collar on the Apollo 14 command module. It is rather interesting. We were so close to the international dateline here south of Samoa. The astronauts landed on Wednesday morning. Of course, we'll be steaming back into Tuesday very, very shortly as we move back towards Samoa. But this is the problems created by the international dateline. The astronauts scheduled to land on Tuesday. They actually landed on Wednesday, and they'll be brought back into Tuesday. Right now, the two rafts now are securely fastened around the flotation collar of the Apollo 14 command module. We have one swimmer in each of the rafts. One of those swimmers is the decon swimmer. A third swimmer is on the outside. Now, the decon swimmer will move from his second swim raft into the egress raft. The other three swimmers will move off to a distance, so there's no possibility of decontamination to them. Once they're out of the way, the decon swimmer will signal through one of the windows on the Apollo 14 command module to the astronauts that he's ready with their gear. They will open the hatch, and the decon swimmer will then pass the respirators and the decontaminated flight suits to the Apollo 14 astronauts. It may take about 5 to 6 minutes for the Apollo 14 astronauts to change into their decontamination gear. But right now, everything moving right on its time schedule for recovery of Apollo 14. This is Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans.
We take you now to the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston and correspondent Rhett Turner and his guest Fred Hayes.
Well, here at Mission Control, astronaut Fred Hayes, one of our primary capsule communicators throughout this mission, is sitting with me as we're watching the television picture of all of the activity you've heard Bill Larson describing from on board the carrier New Orleans. Fred, how does this compare to other pickups and recoveries, particularly your own on Apollo 13, the last flight?
Well, it compares quite the same as Apollo 12. Apollo 11 had the same sort of concern about decontamination, but if you recall, they had to wear very special suits on Apollo 11. So this portion of the exercise, I think, was a considerably longer. Of course, in Apollo 13, we didn't get on the moon, so we didn't have to worry about the decontamination part of this exercise, and I think we got out a lot quicker.
You were quickly picked up. Yes, you didn't have to put on those biological isolation garments.
That's correct.
We're listening to the noise you hear there. If we can hear any intelligible conversation, we'll relay it to you there. We're continuing to follow this step-by-step procedure. We're listening to Air Boss, the aircraft, and the carrier talking to both the spacecraft and the helicopters hovering over the Apollo 14 command module. You heard Bill Larson describe it. The flotation collar was around the spacecraft. There are two rafts there. The, what do you call him? Is the swimmer who is now decontamination swimmer.
Yes.
Is spraying around the hatch with an antiseptic.
He sprays the whole spacecraft. They just, in fact, he's done with that because they just opened the hatch, and what he did then was tossed in a bag which has the aspirators in the bag plus some three Mae West that they will don.
Mm-hmm. The aspirators are the face mask devices.
Life, the Mae West are the life preservers.
Mm-hmm. Now, on Apollo 13, your flight, you came back in an almost refrigerated condition. They had to power down 13 for you in order to help you stay alive to use your consumables. 14 is much more comfortable. You were still very cold inside up to this point, weren't you?
Yes, yeah. we were sitting in there in the water, still
in the
blowing
tropics.
Frosty smoke out of our mouths because the temperature was still down in about 40.
But now, Shepard, Mitchell, and Russo are quite comfortable as this spacecraft is operated up.
I would assume so. In fact, they may be getting a little on the warm side at mm-hmm. this time. They've mm-hmm. been running a pure fan ventilator, which does run a little bit of cooling air around inside, but I would imagine it's...
Here's mission control.
Recovery activities are coming to us from Commander William E. Walker, the pilot of the Prime Recovery Helicopter.
That's the man who is in the helicopter describing what's going on beneath him, and Bill Larson on board the carrier is listening and trying to relay, and we're listening here. At the Mission Control Center. We're watching also on television, a closed-circuit television camera being fed by satellite from the carrier New Orleans, being picked up by the television networks in the United States and by television stations all over the world, relaying live coverage of this recovery of Apollo 14. This is the Voice of America's coverage coming to you live from the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston and from Washington, and relaying information from the South Pacific. Fred Hayes, astronaut and capsule communicator on this mission, lunar module pilot on Apollo 13. He said that the crew did have their suits inside the hatch now. The decontamination swimmer has tossed them in, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that on our monitor. Looks like he's waving to... He's looking inside to see if they're donning them at this point. Now, you say that the cooling has stopped, but they have fans to circulate the air.
That's correct. They have a... They have a valve that they open, a post-landing vent valve, and just a plain old electric fan can run ambient air around in the capsule, and you have little... cloth ducts that you can, like a tube that you can put up to your face if you want to, you know, especially the flow where you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've pretty much cleaned up everything inside. They're mainly donning the gear that was put inside for them to put on, the life preservers and the aspirators.
What sort of duties have they had to perform there inside the spacecraft after splash? We're looking at your checklist here.
You know, it's primarily configuring the communications and powering down the vehicle, getting all the electric power off of it. And they're down mm-hmm. to within a couple of items now of having it completely powered down.
They've opened the hatch, so I presume that the three pilots are ready to crawl out. Only the decontamination swimmer is still near them. Here's Air Boss in the helicopter. Let's see if we can understand what he's saying. The swimmer could well have opened that hatch before they're ready to come out. But now, what sort of provisions are made before that hatch is opened to prevent the interior of the spacecraft from decontaminating the outside? You do vent it, don't you? Are there biological filters?
Now, the vent is only one way it comes in, but you don't have any air leak outside, with the exception of the thing you can't hardly get around of opening the hatch.
The first astronaut has climbed out the spacecraft outside. He has his biological isolation garment on. The second man has now climbed out of the hatch. We can't identify them in those black, dark, or they look black on television. They're really a dark greenish color. They have these aspirators, face masks, to protect them from the Earth. There's the third man. All three astronauts are now inside, out in the life raft, ready to be picked up in the thing called the Billy Pugh net and hauled up into the helicopters. I guess the chopper will be over quickly now. We should be on the carrier deck within another 10 minutes now. Once the astronauts climb out in these operations, I'm sure it felt good to you. You knew you were almost home there on the deck. I bet it felt good the minute you got that hatch open, too.
We of course, welcomed the warm air and the warm water in the South Pacific that day. And I'm sure they certainly feel a very good feeling, a feeling of accomplishment. They're pretty much at the end of the road now, just a little ways to go to get aboard ship, and have had a very successful mission, and they've done a great job.
Fred Hayes, the Apollo craft is a wonderful spacecraft all the way to the moon and back, but it isn't a very comfortable boat, is it? I think I would get seasick very quickly inside of one of those.
No, it's quite confining, and if their spacecraft is anything like it was for us in training in the Gulf, it is pretty warm in there, which doesn't help matters. And if you particularly get down in the under parts of the spacecraft, under the couches, finishing up stowage, it gets quite uncomfortable in very short order with the way that thing rocks.
So it's a distinct lift just to climb out the hatch at this point, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. I've heard, though, compared to Gemini, it rides pretty well. Gemini, I guess, was
much
even
less
worse.
Stable.
Yes.
Yeah, it was much more narrow, and it bobbed back and forth a bit more. Here comes the Billy Pugh net coming down from the helicopter, being dropped down for the first crewman. Let's see if we can identify who gets in it. That's going to be a little difficult. Is there an established procedure for which man goes first?
No, I think it's kind of each crew. We had a preferred order. I normally went first, and the command module pilot second, and the commander last.
Well, let's see if the lunar module pilot goes first this time. Ed Mitchell. The rescue net, the Billy Pugh net, on a line from the helicopter, is now down to the raft. Russa. Astronaut Russa.
Recovery helicopter reporting astronaut Russa aboard the recovery net.
Mission control confirms it. Astronaut on the way up. That was confirmation that astronaut Russa is in the Billy Pugh net on the way up to the helicopter. We can understand what the air boss is saying, what the helicopter commander is saying, but it's a little, as you can hear, it's full of a lot of static, so we'll try to repeat it for you.
And it's okay. A new helicopter this time, too. Old number 66, I think, has been retired. This is the first time this helicopter has been used.
What type is this? Do you happen to know that?
No, I don't know the Navy identification.
Mm-hmm. That 66 was in quite a few pickup missions, wasn't it?
It had made every Apollo pickup.
The rescue net is out again, going back down. This is astronaut Fred Hayes, lunar module pilot on Apollo 13, with us, helping give us some expert insights into how this pickup operation goes. Fred was capsule communicator for the lunar orbit insertion, for the landing on the moon, and throughout that second excursion of the moon. An excursion that might well have been his own had Apollo 13 landed safely on the moon. Here comes the net, back down to the life raft where both Mitchell and Shepard are waiting. I presume that Mitchell will go next and the commander last. Let's see if that's the case. The net's down in the life raft. There goes the second pilot. The second astronaut is on the way up.
Ed Mitchell reported the second crewman on the way up to the recovery helicopter.
And indeed it is. Astronaut Ed Mitchell, the lunar module. Up to the door of the helicopter. There he is, going into the door of the helicopter. They raised this rescue net called the Billy Pugh net, named for the old salt who invented it. Quickly up from the life raft to the rescue helicopter. So that leaves Alan Shepard, the commander, the captain, last to leave the ship. Good Navy tradition. And that being dropped back down now again for Al Shepard. The decontamination swimmer is assisting from the life raft. Now, he has to go into isolation also, doesn't he, Fred, in the quarantine, the decontamination swimmer?
I'm not sure. The only people I know that are in the mobile quarantine, the doctor, I think, Carpentier,
mm-hmm.
on this one, and one other gentleman that...
The engineer.
Engineer who operates the MQF.
All right, here comes the net swinging down again. The helicopter is hovering right over the spot. Sometimes the wind or the prop wash from that big helicopter blade blows this around a bit and also ruffles the water. All right, getting the net down, ready for Shepard to hop in. Shepard's in the net. He's aboard the net. Here it goes. Lost communication from Airbus there for a second, or someone was switching an antenna or a communications link. Shepard now is zipping up. They're pulling it up quite fast. It really moves.
I think because of the swing, they wanted to get it away and above the capsule as quickly as possible there.
Who operates the cable? The man standing in the door?
There's a man right in the door. He has a handle that's running a hydraulic system that's a hydraulic hoist.
Here's Shepard up to the door of the helicopter. It was hovering some, 20 or 30 meters above the water. Shepard is safely aboard, says Airbus. Now the helicopter will swing around for a proper landing on the carrier deck. He should be there within the next 3 or 4 minutes. Sometimes they take a very long swing. I've often wondered about that.
Yep.
Fred, you've rehearsed and gone through this.
Well, for us, I
take such a long
approach. I assume they made the swing to give us time to get changed. I don't think they're going to do that, but we changed clothes on the way back. We took off the two-piece suits we'd been wearing in the spacecraft on the way back and donned some clean, conventional airplane-type flight suits.
Yes. Well, now, that you did not have to go into the mobile quarantine
That's
facility,
correct.
So
yes.
That was possible. In this case, they will continue to wear the biological isolation garments. Now, the astronauts will, after they're on board the ship, there will be a small ceremony. We understand President Nixon is to call and speak to the astronauts 12 minutes after they get on the deck. Also, when the carrier steams into Samoa, the mobile quarantine facility will be transferred. They'll go out of one straight into another, and that area will be decontaminated, and the astronauts will be flown back to Houston. They'll save considerable time with this transfer on Samoa. The Airbus is transmitting only when he has something to say there now, instead of continuously. The helicopter is again going in a great looping circle to make a proper approach. They also have some wind to account for, even landing a helicopter on a carrier, don't they, Fred?
Oh, you need to be into the wind.
Even in a helicopter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more so.
How many hours of helicopter time do you have as an astronaut in training?
Oh, I I don't know. I would guess probably 400 to 500 hours.
400 to 500 hours. Oh, boy. To what extent do you think that assists you in learning to fly, say, a lunar module which hovers? That's the reason for it, isn't it?
Yes, that is the reason. I think the main advantage is it gives you the out-the-window visual perspective of making a V-stall type approach, a steep
vertical angle
approach. Mm-hmm. The handling of the H-13 helicopters we fly, these are made by Bell, are not comparable in any way to the lunar module.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens to the command module? The decontamination swimmer, does he close the hatch and get it safetied and
ready
for pickup?
That's correct. It'll be all closed up, and in a short while here, I assume the ship will come over and pick it up.
There's a complete team of engineers from North American Rockwell, the manufacturer, and from NASA to examine it out there on the carrier deck, too.
Yeah, what they do, I think, is butt it up against the MQF and provide a tunnel for the crew.
Estimate on the splashdown coordinates agreed almost precisely with the onboard spacecraft readout. 27 degrees, 2 minutes south, 172 degrees, 40 minutes west. That splashdown occurred at 216 hours, 42 minutes.
Well, there are the official readouts of splash time. The coordinates were exactly as predicted, 172 degrees, 40 minutes west. We were saying 1 minute less for a while there, 39, and 27 degrees, 2 minutes south. That's the splashdown point if you happen to be watching this on a map. Here come the helicopters now, straight in toward the carrier deck, and we can see this on the very good television picture coming back via communication satellite from the helicopter carrier New Orleans. Fred, you almost made it up there. I remember one of the most interesting remarks that I heard you make was when you congratulated Shepard and Mitchell on their wonderful excursion to the moon. You said, well, I couldn't have done it better myself. I remember hearing that, and I know that must have been a proud moment for you and also one that could have been happier had 13 gone better.
They had it looked a great time of it. It was somewhat frustrating because the task is one, and it always will be, I think, on from the standpoint of a geology field exercise in the moon, you're always going to be short of time, no matter how much time we have, and I just wanted to assure them that that was the case, and I felt they had done a great job.
The helicopter is coming down over the carrier deck now, and let's go back downrange. Let's go back to the carrier New Orleans.
As it touches down in its landing spot number 3, right in front of us here on the prime recovery ship, USS New Orleans, it's down. All wheels down on the ground for the recovery helicopter as ground crewmen race over to place chocks in front of the front wheels, also moving around to the back to tie down the rear wheel on this recovery helicopter. There will be no movement of the door on this helicopter because the Apollo 14 astronauts will stay in this recovery helicopter until it's brought down to the lower deck, to the hangar deck here for Apollo 14. But the helicopter is being secured while the rotor blades will be turned off on the helicopter. The tail section of the helicopter will be folded back so that the chopper will fit onto this elevator deck for its lowering to the hangar deck. That securing process has now been finished by the ground crew, several ground crews standing around and watching. And you can hear in the background those radar rotor blades, those engines being shut down on these Sea King helicopters. In this helicopter, the three Apollo astronauts, Shepard, Rusa, and Mitchell. Along with them, of course, the flight crew of the helicopters and Dr. Bill Carpentier of NASA out of the manned spacecraft center. They're waiting to go down on that elevator to the hangar deck and the mobile quarantine facility. Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans. Here on the USS New Orleans, the ship's bells just tolled and the communication system called out the Apollo 14 astronauts arriving.
They have arrived. Now the ground crew is moving in closer. This to fold up the rotors on the recovery helicopter, also to fold back the tail. And moving out into position as well is NASA's Chuck Philly. He'll be watching for any possible break of this contamination procedure. He is standing by. Along with him, Dr. Dick Garner out of Houston. Dr. Garner is the clinical doctor for the astronauts, their families, and also for the NASA pilots. And he is standing by with a container of decontaminants just in case something were to happen that the astronauts had to egress from this helicopter. Dr. Garner would have to spray the area where they have been. There have been no moon germs discovered on previous Apollo flights, but NASA is taking no chances because, of course, this crew went to an entirely different area than either of the crews of Apollo 11 or 12. Another helicopter hovering in the background here. It has not landed. That was the photo helicopter that landed momentarily, then took off again. And right now, the ground crew beginning to work on the tail of this helicopter to fold it back into position. Once that's accomplished, a small tow truck will tow the recovery helicopter over to the elevator for its lowering to the hangar deck. All's well with Apollo 14. This is Bill Larson on the USS New Orleans.
And that's the mission of Apollo 14. This highly successful mission of Apollo 14 started Sunday, January 31st, after a 40-minute delay because of threatening weather that day at Cape Kennedy in Florida. The spacecraft left the pad in a perfect launch at 21 hours, 3 minutes, Greenwich Mean Time. There was some anxiety later in the evening when the astronauts had difficulty in docking. Several attempts were necessary before the commander reported a successful docking to Mission Control. There was no problem after ascent from the lunar surface. However, the docking mechanism is with the astronauts in their command module for further study back at the Manned Spacecraft Center. Touchdown on the moon in the Frau Maurer Highlands came at 9 hours 17 Greenwich Mean Time, Friday, February 5th. Astronauts Shepard and Mitchell took an extra minute of hovering time to decide on a landing spot and were so accurate that they came within something like 20 meters of the projected landing spot. The first moonwalk was devoted to setting up the television camera that sent color pictures back to Earth and to millions of people around the world, assembling a nuclear generator to power the scientific instruments that were deployed, and the gathering of contingency lunar samples. The second EVA started a couple of hours earlier than scheduled on Saturday, February 6th, when the astronauts cut short their 10-hour rest period to something like 5 hours. A major geological traverse, the second moonwalk took them just short of Cone Crater. Their schedule called that they go to Cone Crater's edge. However, they did reach certain geological formations and picked up samples that have been requested by scientists back here on Earth. Liftoff from the moon came precisely on time at 18 hours 47 minutes Greenwich Mean Time, Saturday, February 6th, ending a 33.5-hour stay on the lunar surface. The return to Earth was routine, with the astronauts conducting a news conference from space the evening before splashdown. And the 14 spacecraft splashed down in the South Pacific south of Samoa at 21 hours 4 Greenwich Mean Time. And on the horizon, Apollo 15, scheduled for July, when the astronauts hope to traverse the lunar surface in a new vehicle electrically powered called the Lunar Rover, equipped with color television. So we come to the end of the highly successful 216-hour, 41-minute mission of Apollo 14. Our thanks to VOA correspondent Rhett Turner and his NASA guest, John Hammersmith, astronaut Colonel Edwin Aldrin, astronaut Fred Hayes, scientist Dr. William Finney, and Flight Dynamics Officer Jay Green. Thanks for their vivid accounts from launch to splashdown, to correspondents Ed Hickey and the entire behind-the-scene crew for their support throughout the mission from the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. This is Norman Guerin and Stuart Spencer at the Apollo News Center in Washington. This program has come to you from the United States of America.